Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Let's Talk Mental Health is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Good day to all our listeners and welcome to this month's edition of Let's Talk Mental Health. This month continues a series where we will be highlighting local mental health resources. Today, we are focusing on the Lakeview Clinic in Two Harbors. My guest today is Amy Sumi. Amy is an APRN CNP at the Lakeview Clinic. Amy received her Master of Science in Nursing from the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. She is a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner and is certified as an advanced practice registered nurse by the American Nurses Credentialing Center. Prior to joining Lakeview Clinic, Amy was a nurse in the Behavioral Health Outpatient Clinic at Essentia Health. Good day, Amy, and how are you?
Good day. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well.
It is our pleasure to focus on local mental health resources, of which you are. And Amy, I read some of your background and your professional status, but if you could, for the listening audience, could you fill in whatever I didn't, whatever you'd like us to know, and also about your personal experience with mental health services as a practitioner?
Well, my mental health career, I guess, started probably close to 15 years ago. I started out as a registered nurse, and at that point, I was going into people's homes and people with mental health diagnoses and low-income people. I would go into their homes, make sure that they had the services in place that they needed, and were making it to their doctor's appointments. Then after that, I soon realized I wanted to go a little bit farther into my mental health career, so that's when I went to and joined the team at Essentia, the Miller DeJuan Behavioral Health Unit. Worked there for a couple of years. Got some great experience there. Worked with a great group of people over there. And then I went into the Essentia Behavioral Health Clinic area and worked as a registered nurse there before I did complete my master's degree in getting my nurse practitioner. And that's when I started here at the Lakeview Clinic.
And when was that you started here at our local clinic?
I started in August of 2019, so it's getting to be almost 2 years already.
And we are grateful to have you here, and thank you for all the service that you two provide. Amy, if you're able to, can you talk, pardon me, a little bit about Lakeview's history, philosophy, or a mission as either they stated or as you've come to understand it?
My area and what I've seen with Lakeview and what they wanted with my with the behavioral health services here is adding a practitioner such as myself to be in place for almost like a one-stop shop where you can see your family care practice doctor here, and then if you need extra services with mental health, the family care doctor can refer them to me. I think we do is make it easier for our patients. You know, we're really patient-centered. We, you know, just want them to have the services here in our own local area instead of having to travel far places.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. In the almost 2 years you've been with us, what are the primary mental health issues that you've addressed and have treated?
I've dealt with an array of diagnoses, but, you know, I treat patients from as young as 4 years old up to 90s. I guess the primary diagnoses that I have seen, the most common ones, I guess, are depression and anxiety. There's still, I see, you know, schizophrenia, ADHD, just the whole array of mental health or mental illnesses out there.
And would you say for our listeners that the Lakeview Clinic mental health portion is a full service, meaning are you equipped and trained to handle most mental health disorders or those that present with symptoms?
Yes, I am. And I am so fortunate that, you know, if any of my patients have any physical issues, these doctors and nurse practitioners here at Lakeview are so approachable and so we are such a good communication that I can go to them with any questions. Also, we do partnership with HDC, which is the Human Development Center that is also another facility that provides mental health services. If I have any questions or if there's any troublesome kind of complex patients, I can easily contact one of their providers and kind of get some more tips and tricks or more insight or just suggestions too. So I do feel like we're a one-stop place that can provide services for all mental health conditions.
With the COVID-19 pandemic has had profound impacts on the mental health of people of all ages, and now more than ever, it is critical to reduce the stigma around mental health struggles that commonly prevents individuals from seeking help. The good news is that there are tools and resources available that can support the well-being of individuals and communities. During the current pandemic, what have been the challenges for you as a practitioner? And secondarily, how has telehealth effectively been adapted to meet these challenges?
Telehealth has really opened up a whole lot of avenues and a lot more options for patients. I think telehealth has been awesome. I guess the biggest maybe issue I have seen is when we have those technical issues, which we all suffer through and deal with. But that's probably the biggest issue. Sometimes with telehealth, it's a little bit harder, especially if a patient doesn't have like internet or something like that, then we have to do it over the phone, which is okay. But sometimes we don't get to see the whole picture, or they're not, you know, it's nice to see their facial expressions, see where they're at like that. But with this pandemic, of course, this has been the hardest year for most people. But with the virtual world opening up, there's just so many more options out there. I mean, people are getting resources from addictions to any mental health diagnoses, group therapy, regular individual therapy, CD treatment. It's just really opened up a whole new world to reach other people that maybe might not come in to address their issues.
Have you potentially seen this as perhaps a complicating factor, though, that people may be looking on the internet or other sources which may not be medically sound? And at what point should they perhaps give the clinic a call?
Any questions or concerns, I tell all my patients, like when we're reviewing medications, I'll give them the education about the medication. And of course, most people, because that's what we do, is we go look on the internet. I said, don't read too much into it, because they're going to list everything. You know what, harmful or not, that could happen. So the internet, yes, kind of walking a fine line there. There is some good information, so always try to make sure that you're getting credible websites. But if anybody ever has any questions, of course they're encouraged to call the clinic.
As a practitioner yourself, what diagnostic assessment services do you provide, and what was the training that you had to receive in order to be qualified to provide these assessments?
My schooling with my master's program with North Dakota University gave me the tools to do a psychiatric evaluation. With a psychiatric evaluation, you can diagnose and then come up with a treatment plan that best fits their diagnosis and their needs at that time. That's primarily, other than, you know, our traditional lab work, stuff like that, we'll be also checking like vital signs too, of course. But if we refer other testing like psychological evals or neuropsychological evals. We send our referrals out to licensed psychologists such as at St. Luke's Hillside Clinic, neuropsych evals, which would usually go to a St. Luke's like neurology or Essentia Neurology.
So then you do have a referral basis with other professional organizations that you can refer patients to receive additional services, diagnosis, and treatments. Is that correct?
That is correct.
This being the month of May is also the National Mental Health Awareness Month. The theme for this year is it is a time to raise awareness of those living with mental or behavioral health issues and to help reduce the stigma so many tend to experience. In these unique and challenging times, what do you recommend that listeners be aware of regarding their own mental health or for others they may know?
For the listeners, now just kind of hitting depression and anxiety, if we're having those low mood days and they're happening more often than not and they're hard to get through, they're just sticking with you longer than they should, I would encourage people to call the clinic or their provider and get in and start talking about it. Anxiety, same thing. If we're just feeling anxious, it's overwhelming. It's really interrupting with our daily lives. We need to talk about it. Those patients need to come in and let us know. And it's not always medication that's going to be helpful for them. Sometimes it's therapy. Sometimes it's both. But if there's any questions or concerns, of course we would encourage them to come into the clinic here and let's talk.
In addition to it being the National Mental Health Awareness Month, another known national organization is the National Association of Mental Illness, known by the acronym NAMI. And they state on their website that their theme for this month is, quote, "You're not alone. Now more than ever, we need to find ways to stay connected with our community. No one should feel alone or without the information, support, and help they need. Amy, how do you see yourself and your colleagues there at Lakeview Clinic as facilitators to practice this endeavor and to promote good mental health?
What I always tell lots of my patients is we are here for you. We are all in this together. We need to lean on our supports as much as possible. And with this group that I work with, it's so wonderful because, you know, our family practice doctors are seeing patients constantly, of course, and if they have any concerns about mental health issues with their patients, they'll either come to me and talk about it, or they'll refer them to me so they can get to the services that they need. Really, it's just reaching out to your supports when you need to, check on one another, and don't be afraid to. I have many patients that say, I just don't want to be a burden. You're not a burden. When we need extra help, we do need to reach out to our supports, professional or personal. I guess one thing I would like all the listeners to know is that if they are struggling, feeling overwhelmed, feeling like life is too much, where they're starting to have those thoughts of, I just don't want to be here, having any kinds of suicidal thoughts with a plan or intent, I do encourage them to reach out to like our crisis lines at the Birch Tree Center. And if that is not available, calling 911, calling any friend, any family member, but just reach out to somebody because it always, very hard right now, but it will always get better. But we are always here for people if they need anything. I guess that's my biggest thing, and that I just want people to know that we are here for them.
Let's go back to the COVID pandemic. And just for a moment, talking about the fact that now with spring, we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. Governor Waltz today announced that with his new executive order, that essentially it's doing away with the mask mandate in the state and still recommending that those who have not been vaccinated to mask up, but others who have been vaccinated can essentially almost go back to a normal life. In the process of the last 14, 15 months with the pandemic, however, what are we coming out of when we've seen so much isolation, we've been hunkered down, and now we're coming back out into a social environment? What are some of the new nuances to be expected from a mental health perspective, both from the good side and for those to be aware of?
I've seen commonly, you know, for the last few weeks, lots of people struggling to come out. A lot of people saying like the anxiety, so much anxiety. People even having to run to the grocery store. They get anxious. Some people have to leave the grocery store because they're so anxious. They're expressing like, we've been locked up for so long and now I don't know how to get back out there. This pandemic has scared us all, of course. So then we're, you know, protecting ourselves from that, but now they're saying it's okay. But there's still that kind of apprehension of going back into public. And, you know, some people are like, I don't even know how to act. Had a lot of providers that haven't seen patients in their office, and they're like, it's going to be hard for me to get back into seeing patients even. This pandemic has really threw us for a loop with isolation, separating from our loved ones. Yes, I have been seeing a lot of more anxiety than I usually do.
You had mentioned before anxiety and depression. Those tend to go hand in hand in a diagnostic assessment type environment. As a counselor myself, is there an umbrella over that also sometimes, such as stress that can bring on the anxiety and the depression?
For sure. Sometimes stress can drive the depression and anxiety, and sometimes depression and anxiety can drive stress. Yes, I do believe that stress kind of hangs over, especially these days with, kids in and out of distance learning, back to school, back and forth, you know, and then us trying to figure out, is it safe to go here? Is it safe to go there? You know, and then the stress of not seeing our loved ones.
I like your take on something that I've experienced as a counselor, and that's talking to individuals who have lost loved ones during the pandemic, were not able to see them because of medical restrictions, or couldn't have family gatherings to do memorials, celebrations of life, and now the time has passed, but the event is still there cognitively. What would you recommend for them to address traumatic events that may have happened 6, 10, 14 months ago, and now they're able to get out and socialize with people Do you have any recommendations on how they should address that or anything else?
For people that have lost loved ones and haven't been able to come together and get that closure, I do encourage people to do, you know, get together with friends, you know, have that celebration of life and really honor those people and then just feed off each other the support that you get, that we all need in these times when we're feeling so low and we're grieving our loved one. But I do encourage people to call the clinic if they have any questions or concerns.
And what number would they call?
218-834-7700.
All right. We thank you very much for being with us today, Amy Sumi, nurse at the Lakeview Clinic. We appreciate your being here in our community, the services you provide, the patients you see, and the advice you have given and will continue to provide to the local community and residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
During my interview with Amy, we discussed that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Wanted to present more information to you as a resource, and there was an online article which was entitled Mental Health Awareness Month 2021, What to Know. The article had three key takeaways. The first being that Mental Health Awareness Month is recognized every year to normalize talking about mental health and share resources to support your mental health well-being. Second, mental health conditions are more common than you might realize. They affect about 20% of people living in the U.S. And finally, if you're struggling with your mental health, effective treatments are available and many organizations can provide information, support, and crisis intervention. Mental Health Awareness Month, which is in May, is designed to highlight the importance of taking care of your mental wellness. It's also a great time to share valuable resources and learn where you can get mental health support. Mental Health Awareness Month was started in 1949 by Mental Health America, and each year the organization chooses a theme. Their theme for 2021 is Tools to Thrive, with a focus on helping you find healthy ways to cope with stress. An estimated 51.5 million people in the United States live with a mental illness, which is about 20% of the adult population. Included in that is 5% of adults who experience serious mental health illnesses. About 17% of youth ages 6 to 17 years old experience mental health issues. Anxiety disorders are the most commonly diagnosed mental health condition, affecting about 18% of the population. Other common mental health conditions include depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, known as PTSD, bipolar disorder, substance abuse use disorder, personality disorders, schizophrenia, and eating disorders. More than half of the people with a mental illness don't receive treatment, according to Mental Health America, and about 10% of those with a mental illness don't have health insurance. Well, what are some of the risk factors for mental health disorders? Many factors contribute to your overall mental health. This can include genetics, your lifestyle, and environmental influences. Many stressful circumstances can increase your risk for mental health problems. Some examples of these stressors include losing your job, worrying about your finances, and not having enough money, being unable to afford or access health care, worrying about not having enough food, being afraid about not having a place to live, experiencing violence, discrimination, or racism, facing stigma about mental health issues, lacking enough social and community support, and having trouble finding providers who understand your culture or speak your language. The pandemic has been unique among major crises in that it has impacted everyone, regardless of who you are or where you live. It's also had a big impact on many people's mental health. The Kaiser Family Foundation found that during the pandemic, 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. reported symptoms of anxiety or depression. That's up from 1 in 10 adults in the first half of 2019. Older adults, children, and healthcare workers faced an even higher rate of mental health stress. For those who needed treatment for a mental health condition, access to care became more challenging during the pandemic. In a proclamation recognizing May as Mental Health Awareness Month, President Biden highlighted the pandemic's impact on mental health. He stated, "Mental health is essential to our overall health, and the importance of attending to mental health has become even more pronounced during the COVID-19 pandemic, which has not only negatively impacted many people's mental health, but has also created barriers to treatment." Then what are the early warning signs of mental illness? Each mental health condition has a unique set of symptoms, but many share similar signs, especially those that get in the way of your day-to-day life. Common early warning signs of mental illness can include worrying or feeling afraid more than usual, feeling sad, empty, or hopeless most of the time, having trouble thinking, concentrating, or learning, noticing big mood shifts from lows to highs or elation, avoiding friends, family, or social commitments, sleeping or eating more or less than usual, losing interest in activities you used to love, using substances like drugs and alcohol more often than usual, thinking about suicide or killing yourself. If you're worried about your child, you may want to pay attention to some less obvious signs they're struggling with their mental health. Look for behaviors such as changes in school performance, hyperactive behavior, regular nightmares, frequent aggression or disobedience, regular temper tantrums. Recognizing the early signs of mental illness can help you get treatment sooner. Mental illness responds well to early intervention. For example, those who start schizophrenia treatment early after symptoms appear are often better able to manage their serious mental illness long term. If you're not quite sure it's time to get help, there are several online resources that can give you some perspective on what you're feeling. Called mental health screenings, these online tests compare your experiences to common mental health symptoms that you can then take to your provider. Here are some good mental health screening tools. Mental Health America offers self-assessment screenings for a wide variety of conditions, including addiction, PTSD, bipolar disorder, and more. They also have a youth test for those under 18 years of age and a parent test you can use to assess your child. You can take the Veterans Affairs, VA, screening test for PTSD, regardless of whether you served in the military or not. You can also measure your understanding of mental health with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's short quiz on myths and facts about mental health. Remember that results from online assessments are not an official diagnosis or substitute for consultation with your healthcare provider. If you or someone you love has signs of a mental health issue, there are many types of mental health services available. These options might include individual counseling, group therapy, medication, mental health education, peer support groups, inpatient care at a treatment center, hospital, or residential program. To start your search for mental health treatment, try your regular healthcare provider. They may have recommendations for psychotherapists, psychiatrists, and other mental health services in your area. Here are some other avenues to explore when you're ready to reach out for help. Check with your insurance provider to see what services are covered under your plan and search your insurer's provider's directory for services that accept your insurance. Ask friends or family for recommendations for therapists or other mental health resources that have helped them. Use general online directories like Psychology Today or Therapy Den to search for mental health providers in your area. You can also visit the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, to locate providers and treatment options in your area. You can also call the SAMHSA National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. You can also go to the Mental Health America's online site and check out a list of organizations that offer peer support groups. Even if you don't have insurance, many providers will work with you to offer services on a sliding fee scale where you pay a lower rate based on your income. You can also visit the website for the Department of Health and Human Services to locate federally funded health clinics that offer low-cost services near you. Mental Health America's Tools to Thrive initiative focuses on protecting your mental health to prevent a more serious issue down the road. Ways you can protect your mental health include find a community where you can get social and emotional support. Learn ways to adapt after you experience a traumatic or really difficult event. Learn new skills for managing situations that make you feel angry or frustrated. Take care of yourself by meeting your basic needs, like nutrition and sleep, and participating in activities that you love. Many organizations provide websites or helplines that are staffed around the clock to answer questions. provide guidance, and assist in a crisis. A few places to turn for more information include National Institute of Mental Health, National Alliance on Mental Illness, Child Mind Institute, the Trevor Project, which provides services for the LGBTQ community, and BIPOC, that's BIPOC, Mental Health Resources. For immediate assistance or to speak with a crisis counselor, contact these hotlines. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That is 1-800-273-8255. You can also contact the crisis text line by texting HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. Hi, this is Chris again. I want to tell you about a unique and personal opportunity that you have as a resident here in Two Harbors. Do you have 3 minutes to give to Two Harbors Community Radio today? You may ask, I'm busy. Why do you ask? Because in that short time, we can take your pledge of financial support for independent, volunteer-driven, non-commercial radio, KTWH 99.5 FM, and our web stream at ktwh.org. Go to ktwh.org and click donate, or make a local call for local radio to 218-595-6195 and give us 3 minutes so we can give you another year of quality radio adventures. Also, as a reminder, though the anniversary is back in September, KTWHLP is still marking our 5th year on the air with you. You can support local radio that informs, challenges, and entertains you 365 days a year. On a good day, we can even make you laugh. Depending on your pledge amount, you can select one or more of the great premium gifts, a KTWH painter's cap or t-shirt. While you're at it, give us feedback on our programs and what you'd like to hear on the air. Again, go to ktwh.org and click donate or call 218-595-6195. KTWH is a sound investment in your community. Thank you. We really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. And that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force. And that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. The North Shore Mental Health Group strives to create safe and welcoming spaces in the Silver Bay, Finland, Beaver Bay, and Isabella areas for those living with or wanting to support others living with mental health challenges. GLAAD, Group for People Living with Anxiety and Depression and Other Mental Health Challenges and Their Supporters, is a confidential peer support group that meets every second and fourth Monday of the month from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Normally, they meet at the United Protestant Church in Silver Bay, but they have been meeting via Zoom since the COVID-19 outbreak. The rationale for the group is that their goal is to ensure that it is a safe place for everyone to both share and listen. If you are interested in joining the group, email nsmentalhealth@gmail.com. Again, that is nsmentalhealth@gmail.com. On the Lake County website, there is a Health and Human Services Support Guide, and in it you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.